Extreme Praise.
The Extreme Takeover begins in 3, 2, 1.
Praise 104.1 all over the world on praisedc.com.
The most powerful force on the planet. Broadcasting live on 104.1.
Turn your radios up. Praise 104.1, praisedc.com. I'm your man, D. Farley, the Street Disciple, and I've got a real, real treat for you guys. The last time we did this segment of Extreme Praise, I had a dude by the name of Lecrae on. Well, I've also had somebody here from the 116 Click, and there's real no category for this guy, man. And that's what we're all about here at Extreme Praise. So he's one of the most God-conscious rappers of our time. In just 4 or 5 strong years, I want to introduce everybody to the dude, Andy Mineo. Andy, what's up, man?
What up?
Good to have you, man. So for the people who don't know about Andy Mineo, tell them about yourself.
I rap. man, live in New York City. I'm an artist, hip-hop artist. I do this for a living, and I enjoy it.
Now, I know you've been rapping since about 2009, so you've been out for a little while now, man. How does it feel to finally have a couple years under your belt? You're starting to get a little bit of mainstream success.
It's cool, man. It's part of the progression as an artist, you know, and I've had success over the years as an artist in increments, and so I've kind of slowly grown into this, and I enjoy where I'm at, man. Nothing feels really, like it's coming as a shock or as a, you know, out of nowhere. Kind of had a slow preparation for it, and it feels good to grow incrementally, and, you know, there's no overnight success here, but I think that's something that I really value and appreciate.
I like your humility, man. You could have just said, man, I work for this, you know what I'm saying? So I knew where I was going to be. You could have just kept it, you know what I'm saying? But listen, man, I know you've been married for about a year now. Tell me about the married life.
The best life. I'm not going to lie about it. Man, I've just been having fun. You know, we figuring things out. We two totally different people coming together with two totally different lives and experiences and trying to meld it together to make one life, you know, and that's just an interesting journey, man. And it's been a fun one, and it's been a difficult one, and, you know, all those things, it just made me a better person, made her a better person, and we're growing to love God more and love each other more and love other people more. So, man, it's a beautiful thing, and I look forward to many more years of it. You know what I mean?
Well, let's talk about your career a little bit, man. I think back in 2011 at the Legacy Conference in Chicago, Reach Records decided that they were going to sign you, and they broadcast it out to everybody. How has your life changed since that day?
Yeah, ever since I got signed to Reach Records, you know, they announced it Chicago. It's funny, Lecrae said it to me. He said, hey man, this is right before I signed. He said, you know, when you sign that paper, your life's about to become a whirlwind. And, you know, we were getting out of a cab at the airport, and I remember him saying that to me. And it hit me like, man, things could change really quickly. And the reality is, you know, like, Reach Records has always had a huge audience, that Lecrae and a lot of the guys from the 116, the Pillars, you know, the Tadashis and Triplees and Show Barakas and KBs and Derek Miners, that they've built, you know. So they had a built-in audience, and as soon as they signed me and introduced me to that audience, you know, I was standing in front of a whole lot of people that might not have known who I was. And that cosign was something that really helped to propel me, you know, into that kind of ecosystem that was already there. So, you know, it's great not only to have the cosign as far as artistically, someone saying, you know, I rock with this dude artistically,
right,
and as a brother, but to also have that community of dudes around me that not only are they incredible artists, but they're incredible brothers and you know, people that I can learn from and grow with. And that's been a big part of the pleasure of being a Reach Records artist over the last few years.
Now, for those of you who don't know, this band of brothers that he's talking about right now is known as the 116 Click.
Yeah, man.
Tell us about the 116.
Really, what it was is a couple dudes that were going to college in Texas, and they love God, and they were making music, and they got together. It kind of just became this movement. This is when there wasn't a huge presence of Christians who are hip-hop artists, and it kind of became this collective of a bunch of brothers that were saying, you know, I'm unashamed. That's where 116 comes from, in Romans 1:16, that says, I'm unashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God, the salvation for anyone who believes. So that idea of unashamed, I'm unashamed unashamed about my faith. I'm unashamed about who God's made me to be. A lot of people who are artists, you know, and who even identified with that phrase were starting to come together, and they're starting to build an audience of people who really love that and identified with that. And it's just grown over the last few years to the point where 116 is, you know, a legitimate movement.
Yeah.
I remember we went to Africa in 2011, and I remember us landing, and when we got off the plane, there's people with signs and horns, break dancing, and, you know, I travel all over the world. I see 116 tattoos everywhere.
Right.
So it's crazy to see what's happened and how people have grabbed a hold of that concept of being unashamed.
Well, that's what's up, man. We definitely appreciate you for all the work that you're putting in, especially for the unashamed movement. So two albums in and one EP done. You're getting ready to drop the third album. That's a lot of music, dude. So to date, what is your favorite song?
Yeah, I think probably it would be You Can't Stop Me. That's just a great record that, you know, is really unique as far as production approach and, you know, encapsulates a lot of my story.
Right.
And a lot of my influences, you know, rock, hip-hop, you know, electronic music. And it's just, I think it's a well-written song, and it's had a lot of success, you know, these last few years. You can't stop me. Can't stop, won't stop. Where the brakes at? I give them that ditty bop. Like, take that, take that, take that, take that. I'ma put in work. I'ma do that ASAP, throw my faith in rap. But they say, don't say that, huh? What I'ma turn down for? I feel like Shaq and 9-4. Breaking glass in that back boat. I like Kobe in Toronto, huh? Dropping 81, yo, I dropped the 88. Ricky Bobby, shake and bake. Sleeping on it, should've stayed awake, huh? Everybody make mistakes like VJs. Try to say my name, it's Minio. Say it with me, Minio. Okay, great, two forks high, raise the stakes. Risk it all, I take the hate. It's the winning team, get the Gatorade. My guy good, but he's not safe, nah. They try to shut us down and it ain't gon' slide. Only thing I'm there is God and he on my side. That's the confidence of God, cause he got me. That's why I really feel like you can't stop me. That's all you got.
Well, you're definitely one of the more interactive artists in our genre with the Twitter, the IG, doing the Saturday morning cartoons thing, man. What made you want to be so interactive with your fans?
Really, nobody had to tell me. I just kind of have always enjoyed engaging with people. You know, I think I was born naturally as an entertainer.
Right.
And relationships are a huge thing for me. You know, certain people are hardwired certain ways, but for me, relationships are very important, and I love cultivating those. And plus, you know, as a creative, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that are just resources and outlets for me to go ahead and to express my creativity or my thoughts. I also think about it from a fan perspective, where it's like, man, if I was a fan, I would love if artists did something like this. And so that's where I always try to move, is to create a great experience for my fans, because my fans are amazing, man. Like, you know, we don't even call them fans for real. We call them family because we're connected by so much more than music. But on top of that, man, like, these are the people who allow us to continue to do what we do for a living. You know, these are the people who stay invested in you and spend money on your concerts and your merch and your CDs because they believe in you and support you. And I just like to let them know that I appreciate that and stay connected with them.
Most definitely. Now, what's the most meaningful interaction you've had with the fan on your social media pages, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or, you know, Snapchat, whatever you want?
Man, I've had a lot of meaningful interactions, to be honest with you. And a lot of them have gone offline. You know, they've gone off of Twitter and Instagram and landed in real life situations. You know, recently I got an opportunity to, you know, tweet out, you know, hey, I'm going to be going out to watch a movie, you know, at this movie theater. And some people were able to, you know, meet me at the movie theater. We were able to hang out and talk life afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
And,
man.
Yeah, social media allows you to do stuff like that that we were never able to do before.
Well, let's talk about Uncomfortable, the album. Where did you get the name Uncomfortable? What is it about?
Yeah, Uncomfortable, there's a lot of things about that title, but one of them is, you know, that's just honestly where I've been in my life over these last few years, is an uncomfortable space, because my life in a lot of ways doesn't make sense. You know, I'm a Christian inside of hip-hop culture, and what I stand for and believe and the way I think about the world is oftentimes ridiculed or rejected, and I'm still called to love this culture and these people. You know, I'm also just uncomfortable with the growing success, how that's put strains in the relationships of people around me. I've been uncomfortable, you know, getting engaged and getting married. You know, that happened throughout the whole process of me creating this album. And that's just something that no one's ever really ready for. You know, it's a whole new way of doing life. Also, my faith has been evolving in quite a few ways where, you know, my faith has gone from just a heady theological thing to God really challenging me to put what I believe into action.
Wow.
And, you know, when that happens, you know, things get really sticky and uncomfortable because it's really comfortable to read a Bible and have a coffee in a nice coffee shop, pray. But it's really uncomfortable to go out and serve the homeless.
Right.
You know, and I think embracing that discomfort is one of the things that has helped allow me to sit inside of the tension of my life and grow. So Uncomfortable just seemed like a fitting title for this album. Yo, what's up? This is Andy Mineo. You about to listen to my new record, Uncomfortable.
Nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you could die from bliss, yeah. Nobody told me, nobody told me. We never ever saw it coming, no, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we never saw it coming, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up.
Tell me how you plan on getting swole if you don't ever get sucked.
Hold up.
They say, Andy, this ain't music for your car. If they jump in shit, nah, they was never on board. I got enemies, man, they wanna see me on the floor. I got frenemies, couldn't even tell you who they are. If you're not driven by the mission, you'll be driven by the cause. Focused on what you been getting, more than becoming who you are. I tried to point them to the sun, but why they calling me a star? Who would've thought we set their minds free with these bars? In this game, in this biz, want the fame, gon' get rich, comfort, everybody wantin' it. Never knew I could be lost in this. This my sophomore, gotta go hard when the show over, no encore. I got enough, but I want more.
I want you to just explain two things for me, man. And it's actually in the very, very beginning of the song. You say, nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you can die from bliss. What does that mean?
Whatever you want it to mean. Hmm. Nah, you know, I think there's such thing as a living death. And I think living death is where you're alive, you know, in a physical manner, but you're walking around dead. And dead inside, or dead spiritually, or dead to what you're supposed to be doing, or how you're supposed to be living, you know. I watched a movie one time called WALL-E, you know, the Disney movie.
The robot movie.
Yeah, the robot movie. And there's a scene in there that's really funny. It's called A Human Dystopia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much everybody getting everything that they ever wanted and how that caused a terrible rift throughout all of the humanity.
Right.
Like, people were like, oh, I'm so sick of walking. I just want a machine to carry me around. You know, I don't want to really go to work. I just want to watch movies all day. And we started to watch what happened. People started to watch movies all the time and not walk around. Everybody got fat and everybody couldn't move. And then they started having very minimal interactions with each other and it became very unhuman.
Right.
And, you know, I think getting everything you want is not a good thing. And I think God is good in giving us things incrementally and knowing what's best for us. But I think dying from bliss is a thing that can happen in places like America where we are so privileged and we have so many things, you know, that we can become consumed by them and be dead to living, you know, a full life.
All right. And in the next line of that song, you said, grip the blade of the sword. That is so deep, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It kind of caught me, man, because I really study the lyrics of artists. But for anybody who may not understand what that means, go ahead and explain that to them, man.
Yeah, grip the blade of the sword. You know, the Bible is often referred to as the sword of the spirit, the word of God. And, you know, oftentimes we think about a sword being wielded by the handle and then the blade is pointing out to stab and poke and puncture other people or things. But, you know, things that I've been learning as I've been maturing in my faith is that the word of God is not just to be wielded by people to poke other people, but that it needs to, the truth of that needs to cut us as well. So if you hold the blade by the sword, you know, you're being cut by it as well. So it's essentially saying, you know, the same things that I say other people need are the things that I need myself, which is the truth of God's love,
right.
You know, found in scripture. So I need to be cut by it just as much as anyone else does.
We as Christians, sometimes we have that, you know, we're quick to want to point it at other people, but we never want to really stab ourselves. You know what I mean? So the next song I'm going to talk about on this album, man, it definitely kind of resonated with me a little bit. I actually was following it on the Reach Records YouTube page. You dropped a promo video without even saying a word.
Yeah, that song, Hear My Heart, is dedicated to my sister, Grace, and Grace is deaf. That song is pretty much dedicated to her as an apology for having never learned sign language growing up. So, you know, I've been on a bit of a mission to learn sign language and to, you know, bring awareness about the deaf community, you know, to the forefront. So, yeah, that's what that song's about. Yo, what's up? This is Andy Mineo. You about to listen to my new record. It's called Hear My Heart, dedicated to my sister Grace. Peace.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that your name's Grace.
So I know we're getting ready to run out of time. I want to wrap this thing up a little bit. How has the mainstream crowd treated your music? I'm not talking about the church folk. I'm talking about the people who you're really trying to reach.
Yeah, you know, there's been great responses when I'm able to get in front of those people. But basically, people just respect good music, man. Good artistry, good rapping. And, you know, I bring that to the table, and I think people are excited by that. So, you know, it's just, to be honest with you, it's fighting through a lot of the barriers to even be able to get there because, you know, there's so many stigmas and so much crap you really got to get through to even stand in front of a new audience.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times I'm being held back by my own people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who are like, nah, you know, you're ours, and accept this title, Christian rapper, and, you know. I'm just like, guys, when I tell people, you know, I don't call myself a Christian rapper, it's not because I don't want to be called a Christian. It's that I don't want my music marginalized before it gets an opportunity to be heard by other people. You know, my Christianity is part of who I am, and it's in my faith, it's in my life, and it's in my music. But we don't need to create a music ghetto, you know, with that title that keeps other people who aren't Christians away. So, you know, it's just really hard to even get to stand in front of other people because there's so many stigmas and so much backlash even from the community of Christians about it. So, you know, it's been a tough thing, but it's been well received when we get there.
All right, with you talked about the stigma that there is. So with so much life change, man, and me being a product of the 116 movement per se. I grew up in that era with so much life change that's been brought about by you guys' music. Why is it that we still have to fight that stigma of it being accepted?
Yeah, I think there's lots of layers to that politically. I think one, we make hip hop. I think gospel is actually a sound.
Yes.
And I think what ends up happening is, you know, we make hip hop music. It's not gospel music.
Right.
And so I think, one, there's an issue right there. But because we're Christians and people who make gospel music are typically Christians, I mean, that's even a stretch to say in some regards. But, you know, I think we get lumped in together. Like even Lecrae winning a gospel Grammy.
Right.
He doesn't make gospel music. He makes rap music.
Exactly.
But the issue is they don't know what to do with that. Because they don't know where to place him because there's no box or category for us because we're breaking categories. And so they just say, oh, we'll lump you in where the other Christians in the music industry are, right over there. So I think, one, that's an issue. I think, two, the music doesn't fit the format to some degrees. A lot of these radio stations are listener-funded, And, you know, I think hip-hop has always had a stigma about it, that it's like Satan's music, or it's negative music, or it's, you know, unclean music. And so, you know, to start breaking format and playing these songs on other radio stations that are, you know, listener-funded, you know, which are pretty much, you know, depending on what radio station you're talking about, if those people don't like rap music, they're going to stop funding the radio stations, and the radio stations are worried about losing funding and not being able to have a station anymore.
Right.
So they don't want to ruffle any feathers. They just want to do what's worked, and they don't want to take any risks or chances to, you know, to push the limits of what's happening, you know, on the radio. So there's lots of politics. There's lots of things going on. But, you know, there's not really a lot of outlets for guys who are making hip-hop from a Christian perspective. Like, if you're not playing our music, you're years behind. We sell more records than every gospel artist being played, or, you know what I'm saying?
Like, stamp that.
You're late. You know what I'm saying? Gospel artists sell like 5,000 records in their first week, you know? And Lecrae came out the gate with his last album and sold 80,000. You're late. I don't even need to make a plea. You need to catch up.
Straight from the horse's mouth himself. I need to get on it, man. I've got Andy Mineo right here on the line. This is Praise 104.1, praisedc.com. Andy, man, we definitely appreciate you taking your time out your busy schedule. I know you're getting ready for the Uncomfortable Tour, man. CD dropping this Friday. I know you're excited, man.
Yep, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
If you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready. I'm ready. Yeah, y'all ready? Look, if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready. I'm ready. Look, y'all ready, y'all ready, y'all ready. I go for that, I get it. Came in this game, me and Cray on a mission. That fountain blue, that's club lit. But I ain't seen too many, y'all living. Seem like everybody tryna fit it. Living that life like a highlight reel. That ain't real, they ain't tell you about the sweat they spill. How they got no chill just to get it. I'm living the high life, yeah. High art for the most high. My wife in them high heels, ooh. High five. Nice, you know that's right. And now I got fans, I got family. I'm on my chief keep, y'all understand me. Squaw.
There's nothing left to say. I know where I'm going. We starting here today. And you know that.
Is Jewish, my lawyer is Jewish, my stomach is Buddhist. I'm trying to lose it, but I need to chill on fake Newtons. I swear I don't sweat the money, only the music. Now I got the juice and my words got influence. That's power to use it, and I don't want to blood. First off, rap lied to us. Y'all figured that yet? They got the whole world trying to ball out. Ball so hard, but you still got that. I don't respect anybody that's trying to flex. Y'all looking the weakest. Cause I was with a billionaire last week and the boy had Pele sneakers on.
Get money.
My homegirl started stripping. I said, chill, get your degree.
Get it.
She told me, Andy, you tripping. Cause you don't make more money than me. Well, you know that's right. But some money always come with a price. I love this life, but I'm sure what I got next to die for, yeah.
There's nothing left to say. I know.
Right, yeah.